The views and discussion expressed on this program do not necessarily represent those of the hosts of the program, WMKV, Maple Knoll Communities, WLHS, the Lakota Local School District, or staff and management. The information and advice presented are educational in nature and not intended to be taken as specific legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Always consult with your own legal, accounting, or other professional before making any investment. Welcome to Real Life Real Estate Investing, a show to help you gain financial freedom by investing in real estate. Brought to you by the Real Estate Investors Association of Cincinnati and the Ohio Real Estate Investors Association. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing on WMKV, WLHS, and the Maple Knoll Radio Network. And now your host, Vina Jones Cox.
Good afternoon. I am Vina Jones Cox, and this is Real Life Real Estate Investing, where this week, as in every week, we are working our fingers to the bone to make sure that you get the information and inspiration you need to start or grow your own real estate investing business. Now, listen, folks, I've gotten a lot of emails over the last week about people asking what in the heck is going on with the Corporate Transparency Act. I get it. There's been a lot of evolving news around the CTA and FinCEN, and we are, in fact, going to cover that in an entire show on the 27th, okay? We've got an attorney and an accountant, and God knows there might be two or three more things that happen with the CTA. You know, it was declared unconstitutional, and then FinCEN said, yeah, it's only unconstitutional for the plaintiffs in that case in Alabama. Everybody else still has to comply. So we're going to try and get you some actual, like, as knowledgeable as one can be if one is not in the government, information about that. And it's going to be on March the 27th on this show. So just stay tuned. Okay. I don't know any more about it than you guys do. Okay. So today we're going to talk about, a maybe less unpleasant topic. It depends on what your experience has been in the past with having partners. Dun, dun, dun. I know it's like half the people in the world think it's a fantastic idea and half the people in the world wouldn't do it on a bet. And yet it's going to come up for you in your life as a real estate entrepreneur. So clearly, based on my history with partnerships, I am not the expert who needs to talk to you about how and why to create good ones. That person is, in fact, my guest, Stuart Gethner, who was born in Chicago, into a real estate family, and, then did what a lot of people who are born into family businesses do and went out and got a degree and a different job. 'Cause, you know, God forbid we should follow our parents into the real estate business, right? And he moved out to Phoenix about 35 years ago, started several different companies because he's an entrepreneur, and eventually turned all of his focus to his real estate investing practice and sold the other companies. So now he is an instructor, a coach, a consultant with a lot of expertise in a lot of different real estate related areas. But the reason that I wanted Stuart to come on Real Life Real Estate today was to talk to us about how to have good partnership experiences, not bad partnership experiences. He's joining us by phone from his home in Arizona. Stuart, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hey, Vina, thanks for having me. I'm honored to be here.
And I was glad you could take the time today, because this whole partnership thing is near and dear to my heart in some good ways and some bad ways, because I have had a lot of different partnerships over my lifetime, and some of them ended in tears and sadness and broken relationships, and some of them have actually been really, really good for me. So let's start our conversation about how to have the good ones and not the bad ones by just you sharing with us how did you become kind of an expert in putting together partnerships that worked?
So it really is when I realized that I wanted to scale my business and I didn't have all the necessary resources. You know, I wish I could say I took a course or attended a seminar or webinars back then, but they didn't have those back in the day. So I guess my gray hair, which you probably can't see, and the wrinkles around my eyes can tell the story. I guess experience, and experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be realistic, there aren't a lot of seminars out there right now about how to put together partnerships. I mean, we talk about everything else, right? We talk about how to find deals and finance deals and wholesale and retail and rent and, you know, do all those sorts of things. But the only real conversation, if you will, that I have heard in regarding partnerships is this very emotional, either they're terrible and you should never, ever, ever, ever do them, or they're kind of awesome and I love them, right? There's not a lot of teaching around that, although you're going to be doing some for Cincinnati REIA coming up here in the very near future, which we'll talk about a little bit later. So we've got these two camps. I'm sure you've heard them. The avoid at all costs camp on partnerships and the are you kidding? My partnerships don't just double my ability to do deals and create output. It more than does that. So, and man, they will fight each other to the death. Like those two camps were, sure. Are you crazy? So why do you think these two camps exist and which one is right?
So honestly, that's a great question. And I don't think there's right or wrong. I think it's whatever someone wants it to be. You know, there are some folks that say things like avoid marriage at all costs, right? and for them, that works. And I got to be honest, I've been in a fair amount of partnerships, obviously, and it's almost like being in a marriage because we have to report to each other. We spend time with each other. And in my experience has been that if you take a look at some of the bigger companies out there, there are a lot of successful corporate partnerships, for example, like Red Bull and GoPro, Spotify and Uber. It's about picking the right partner. And, you know, I mentioned that I started doing this because I didn't have all the necessary resources. And sometimes people think the resources is always money. And that's one of the reasons is, you know, you don't have the money, but there's partners that want to supply your money. But I've got some buildings, apartments that I own with two partners. Let's call them Art and Tamara because that's their names. And Art is a general contractor. And Tamara is a bookkeeper. And in Arizona here, I own a property management company. I manage our own properties. I'm not a realtor. I just manage our own properties. When one of the tenants complains about something broken, a ceiling fan, a backed up toilet, I reach out to Art. And Art gets to it pretty much right away, not a week from Thursday. And the reason he gets to it right away is because he's my partner, and that's his building too. Mm-hmm. And every month we get a statement from Tamara, quarterly we get distributions, because that's what she brings to the table. So could I do the books? Could I unclog a drain? I probably could. Is that the best time of, is that the best use of my time? Probably not. So by me joint venturing or partnering with these other folks, I get to leverage, I get to do what I do best, they get to do what they do best, and everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the difference between two words you just said that people conflate, and that is joint venturing and partnering, but we're going to have to do it after we take a quick break. Listeners, if you have any questions about partnerships, picking partners, finding partners, setting up good partnerships, structuring them, anything like that, today is your day to call and ask questions. You can call at 877-772-9658. Again, 877-772-9658. Or if it's more convenient for you, just send an email to askvina@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Bina Jones-Cox, talking today to Stuart Gethner, who is a longtime real estate investor, does like partnerships if they are thought through and structured correctly, has made a lot of money from being partners with other people. And yes, I know what I just said. I said he made a lot of money by giving some of his money away to other people. That's what I just said. So if your problem with partnership is, well, but then you have to give away part of your money. Yeah, you have to do the same thing with employees. You have to do the same thing with private lender. Like, you know, you trade money for stuff that you value, which might be somebody else's efforts or expertise in a partnership. Stuart is doing an all-day partnership masterclass on Saturday the 23rd for Cincinnati RIA and some other associations around the country. It is online, so you can go. His co-instructor is an attorney who also, you know, like does the legal work part of it. Like, should you do an LLC? Should you do a limited partnership? Should you do a corporation? Should you just have a joint venture? You know, that, all that technical stuff that you also need to know about. And it's extraordinarily inexpensive, and you can find out more and register yourself at CincinnatiRIA.com. I would check your local group first, because there's 12 groups throughout the country that are participating in this. And if you are a member of one of those groups, it's going to be less expensive than if you sign up as a guest at Cincinnati RIA, but CincinnatiRIA.com if you're a RIA member or your group is not offering it. Oh, and by the way, you can join Cincinnati RIA for $25 a month, and it's $50 extra to sign up for this if you're a guest, so it kind of makes sense to join for a month for $25 and then not just get this event $50 cheaper, but also be able to participate in all of Cincinnati RIA's awesome online meetings, focus groups, exchange meetings, all of the great stuff that Cincinnati RIA does throughout the course of an entire month. So, Stuart, I think you use different terminology for this than I am about to. And I'm going to ask you what your terminology is, but the kinds of partnerships that I most often see our real estate investor listeners getting into fall into two kind of conceptual categories. These aren't like legal structure categories. These are conceptual categories. The first one is business partner, which in my brain means we have agreed that we will do all of our business together. In other words, we together run a wholesaling business or a retailing business or a rental business, and every deal that comes across anybody's plate goes into that business. So we truly are sort of married. The other kind is what I would generally call a JV partnership, which is more of a, we will do this deal together, or possibly we will do some deals together, but we also have our own outside business interests. So familiarize me with your terminology so that I can use that. And then I have a question about which one of those is better.
So I think your definition and the way you explained it, Vina, is spot on. The business partners, we do the whole business together, and we would then form a company, whether that's an LLC, Corp, S-Corp, whatever that might be, and we would get our own tax ID number. The business in and of itself would have its own, like a Social Security number. We call that a tax ID, EIN, FEIN number. And then you're right, when we come to JVs or joint ventures, we kind of still maintain our own identities, but we'll work together on this project. So you and I will work together on this project to raise capital to buy equipment for a school fundraiser, let's say, for their playground. Mm-hmm. And then once that is over, we can both go our separate ways, as opposed to the partnership where we're going to try to, like a marriage, be in this together, work on this together, grow this together, take our lumps together, mm-hmm. and weather through the storms together. So I think you're spot on with your definition. And as far as the second part of your question, which do I think is better? Honestly, I don't think it has to be this or that. I think it could be this and that. You could do some joint ventures with some folks and have partnerships with others. But the idea really is to create success for ourselves, create success for the partnerships. Back in the day, you mentioned I had a different profession. I'm a pharmacist. I used to own pharmacies here in Arizona, and I had two business partners. We were in this together, and there were three of us, and it was a great partnership because I could take a weekend off, or there were times we would take a week off, and the person watching the business watched over the business as if it was theirs because it was theirs. They weren't just babysitting it for me. So I think both are excellent strategies to use if you're looking to start or scale your business.
Mm-hmm. There's kind of a big practical difference, though. And that is, if you and I agree that we're going to do a deal together, you know, we're going to get this property bought, financed, rehabbed, and flipped, and I'm providing the... I'm providing the money and the deal because you don't want me to provide the rehab part, and you're going to oversee the rehab. It's like a summer fling, right? Like, we do it, it's over. If we want to do it again, we can, but there's no, it's a short term kind of thing. The business partner arrangement is the one that, causes the, you know, you compared it to a marriage. And
yep.
My experience is when they don't work out, it is very much like a divorce. People are fighting, not talking to each other. They're trying to figure out how to split up assets, going to court, you know, trying to get possession, trying to get the custody of the kids or houses in the case of a partnership. It feels to me like people jump into full-on business partnerships without nearly enough thought, without nearly enough consideration of why do I want to do this? Why did I pick this other person? Is this really gonna be a net benefit to both of us? And even without the discussions that one hopes you would have before you got married about, do we, you know, what are we each really good at? What do we each really hate and don't want to do within this partnership? How do we feel about, I don't know, when things should be done, how soon contacts should be made? There's all of this like stuff that goes into these more, complex partnerships that can make it end badly. Have you seen, I know you've seen broken partnerships. I'm sure people consult with you about broken partnerships more often than most people get to hear about them. What are the most common reasons that you see for these things turning bad?
So another great question. And I would say probably the most common is that they don't have the end game in mind. They think they want to, we're going to flip and we're going to continue to flip. And at some point in time, a deal goes south and one of the partners wants out, or it wasn't exactly what they signed up for. We went into this partnership. You're going to be the boots on the ground. I'm going to be the one funding the deal. And all of a sudden you're not getting the work done in a timely fashion. And I get frustrated because the hard money monthly payment is due and is due and the next month is due and things aren't getting done. So having, just like in a marriage, having excellent communication, starting with the end in mind and defining some of the roles of what we're going to play and who's going to play is extremely important in any relationship, whether it's a business relationship, a friendship, regardless, knowing where we want to have our exit strategy, having a plan. And let me say this about a plan. You know, as you mentioned, I taught for 15 years for our local REIA here in Arizona. I have classes for the national REIA, and we would look at, me and Alan, we would look at people's business plans, no charge, and our goal was to poke holes in the business plan. I must have looked at hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 business plans, and not one of them ever ends with, I'm going to go through divorce for my wife, I'm going to go into a Great Depression and lose everything. Mm-hmm. Not one of them. Not one of them ends with, my business partner is going to drain the bank account in the middle of the night, move out of the country, and I'm going to have to lose everything or go bankrupt. Every business plan every partnership, it all starts with good intentions, where we want to have a happy ending, goals, goal setting, and such. So the challenge is, what happens when we first sit down versus when the problems arise? And the way to solve those problems is to address them up front. Let's talk about them now as we're starting our relationship, not as they occur. And those problems are very common, and we should be able to discuss them up front. And for an example is, what if? What if I get hit by a car and struck by lightning? Do you want my wife as a business partner?
Mm.
What if? And so we have these conversations hoping that they never happen, but should they happen, we've already come up with a resolution in mind.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that my own business plans never included 2007 will happen, and I will have to fundamentally restructure my business because all of a sudden deals will be everywhere, but money and buyers will be nowhere in sight. I noticed my own business plans did not include there will come a day when I decide that I want to focus on building my retirement plan instead of my personal income. Like, markets change, people change. As you mentioned, stuff happens to people. And most of the partnership agreements that I have seen, whether they're, you know, formalized in like an LLC operating agreement or whether they're more of a, you know, non-recorded but everybody agrees to it JV agreement, are missing a really crucial thing, which is, what if someone wants out? Like, how do we handle that? Or what if someone is no longer capable or willing to do their part of what we've agreed up front that we're each going to do? And I think those have to be addressed, not just like verbally, but I think they have to be in writing. Because if I go into a depression and I'm not communicating with you anymore, and you want to say, well, what we agreed to was that if you couldn't manage the properties anymore, that I would hire a manager and would come out of your half, that's not terribly enforceable if we don't have it written down in some sort of legal document, as well as just having spoken about it.
Yep, I 100% agree. Everything should be in writing, even though we would like to think, especially when we're starting out in a new relationship, that we could do things on a handshake. That's not the right way to do it. And I know at the class we're going to teach, my co-teacher, the attorney, Matt, he's going to be able to go over those documents that are needed, and will be able to provide with us some of the what-ifs that we should address before we get into this joint venture, partnership, or marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not even, some of them aren't even really what-ifs so much as they are wins. You know, when this happens, what are we agreeing now is a fair way to handle it? So we got a couple of questions coming into askvina@gmail.com. We're also open to taking your questions, comments, debates on the whole topic of partnerships at 877-772-9658. Again, that number is 877-772-9658, or go ahead and send it by email, askvina@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Vina Jones Cox, talking today to Stuart Guthner, who is literally the only person in the country that I could find who he felt like and I felt like could address the whole big issue of partnerships, not just the, you know, most good real estate attorneys can address the, how is this best set up for tax and asset protection purposes and whatnot, but there's way more to it than that. There's people. There's people involved, and people are always the kind of thing that is unpredictable. Well, and also the real estate market, but people are somewhat unpredictable in how they are going to behave over a long period of time. And that's, you know, one of the things Stuart has dealt with many times. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to talk to Russ on line one from Connecticut. Russ, welcome to
yes.
Real Life Real Estate.
How are you?
I'm doing good, Russ. It's been a while.
Great. Yeah, it has. Definitely. Planning to come later this year. My question has more to do with looking forward after having been through a few of these, well, maybe some partnerships that have gone sour. What to kind of do, any tips or thoughts on what to do going forward with future partnerships as far as structuring and all that with putting those contingencies in mind, given that people are one of the many X factors.
Yes. So can you this is a very interesting question, Russ, because you when somebody's had several partnerships that have gone sour, they're usually in that camp of no way, never again. I'm just going to do it myself from here on out. And the question you're asking is, how do I go forward in a better way? Why are you still interested in doing partnerships at all?
I'm just thinking if it comes to it in the future. For the reasons mentioned, the more practical reasons, but like the money and different things, skills.
Mm-hmm. So can you share just kind of generally what went wrong in the past, like what caused them to go sour? Without getting into too many specifics.
Right.
Disagreements between the people? Was it that the underlying deals went bad?
Yes. There was basically the other partner, due to some factors out of his hands, was not able to fulfill his side of the agreement.
Okay.
And this is the long and short of it.
And that just left you stuck.
Yes, and then got us into a point where I ended up losing money on it.
Okay. All right, Stuart, what would you say to Russ about how to think about this differently next time?
So great question, Russ. First, let me congratulate you on trying. I can't tell you how many people are out there, and they want to, and they want to, and they want to. You actually pulled the trigger. So you should be very proud of yourself, because I gave out a tire kickers and wannabes. And kudos to you. Obviously, I'm sorry that it didn't work out with your expectation. And in this instance, my thought I would give to you and everybody, I would call it due diligence. And the due diligence is going to be on your partner. And my experience has been, and when I teach, I'll tell the story, people will meet each other at a RIA, and they'll say, oh, I'm interested in wholesaling. Oh, you are? So am I. Let's go grab a cup of coffee. And they'll head over to McDonald's or Denny's, and they'll have some jokes, and they'll have some laughs, and they both want to go into wholesaling or flipping or whatever it is, and then they decide to go into business together. Now, you wouldn't, in theory, you wouldn't marry someone like that if you wanted to, but I see a lot of people doing that because they feel they have the similar interest. So doing a little bit more due diligence about the background, spending more time with that person, and making sure just the challenge that you had. Someone says they're going to do something and they don't do that. How frustrating is that, especially when you're living up to your end of the bargain? So doing a little bit more references, some of their past performances, and they may have never been in real estate before. They may have been in other business or other jobs, and just seeing how they perform in those jobs as well should be a good predictor of how well they're going to perform with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just want to add to that, Russ. I think a really good question to ask yourself before you get into any partnership is, what are they bringing to it that I don't have and therefore is valuable here? And also, what am I bringing to it that they don't have that is valuable here? Because, I mean, if both of you are equally capable of paying for the property, overseeing the rehab, selling the property, you kind of got to ask the question, are we both just trying to be partners because we sort of like each other and we like to do business together, or are we both trying to be partners because we see it as, I can get the other person to do more of the work? I mean, partnerships are successful when the people are bringing really distinct sets of skills and resources and likes. You know, can I balance a checkbook? Yes. Is that something that I enjoy sitting around and doing no. So if a partner who enjoyed bookkeeping and bill paying and balancing checkbooks and all that stuff would be a really valuable partner to me, and I might be valuable to them if the piece they were missing was they didn't know how to find deals.
Right. Right. Or something like a contingency, like what happens if that partner or I or the or either partner fails to fulfill their end.
Absolutely. Yeah, and yeah. I've always just said I'm really interested to hear Stuart and Matt's event on Saturday, a week from Saturday, because the way I've always settled that is just I've just said if it's my job and I don't do it, you can hire someone to do it and you will take it out of my income from the partnership and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to figure out a better way than that.
Right.
Okay, Russ.
Okay.
You good? All right. Looking forward to seeing you Ohio later in the year. Let's go to line two and talk to Robert from Chicago. Robert, welcome to Real Life Real Estate.
Hello, Vina. Hello, Stuart. Rob from Chicago. Hey, Stuart.
Hello.
Got a hypothetical question for you. Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
Hi, you?
Let's say you were investing in an apartment building remotely, and you wanted to establish a relationship with a property manager. How would you go about doing that? And then after that's established, do you have boots on the ground make sure that property manager is doing what he's supposed to be doing? Thanks, guys.
Were you able to hear his whole question, Stuart?
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, being from Chicago, I admire you for investing in Chicago. That's a tough place to invest. However, I have similar problems than you have. I had a condo in Las Vegas, and if you look at on a map, the distance between Phoenix and Las Vegas is like an inch, right? And I hired a property management company, and every other month I'm getting a bill for a broken toilet, a leaky faucet. Now, this property management company, I would joke, must have had a brother-in-law who was an out-of-work plumber, and I'm paying for this guy to live. And even though they're about an inch apart on a map, it's a 3-4-5-hour drive or an airline flight to make sure I'm not getting ripped off. And I honestly felt like I was getting ripped off. So as I go forward in my joint ventures and partnerships, and I've done some partnerships, I got one 16 units up in Price Hill in Cincinnati, got some other deals that we've tied up, I want a partner. I don't want a property management company. Vina may have a different take on this. This is just my opinion. I find that property management companies make money when I have a problem. If I got a vacancy, they make money. If I got a clogged toilet, they make money. So what do I want instead of a property manager is a partner, someone that who has a vested interest that if it is really a leaky faucet, they'll make sure the plumber does the right job before we pay them. If there really is a problem with some of the electrical, that the electrician does a good job before they pay them, not taking the word of someone who makes money when I have a problem. So I appreciate that you want to try to hire a property management company, but I think you solved your so you said the solution with the follow-up, and that was, but how do you have boots on the ground and make sure you're not getting taken advantage of or ripped off? And that's where I would start. I would start with someone who is my partner, whether it's through the local RIA, you find them, and we vet them out, or however you find them, you have someone that you know in a certain area. But in my opinion, partnerships or joint ventures are better than property management companies. But again, that's my opinion, and I know Vina may have a different opinion, so I'll turn it over to you.
Vina doesn't have a different opinion.
Okay.
Vina is most happy with her property. Now, I don't do apartments, of course. It's almost entirely single-family homes for me. But I am most happy with the deals that I have where I have a ground partner who's generally their job is management, maintenance, dealing with tenant issues, things like that. And I am the one who maybe constructed the deal, put the money in the deal, evaluated the deal. So I did the part I was good at. And now they are going to do a really good job on the part that they're good at. because they understand that if they pay an extra $2,000 for the roof that needs to be put on, that $1,000 of that's coming out of them. Right? Because we're partners. It's going to reduce their income by $1,000 for the next 6 months while we pay for that roof. So I actually generally agree with you that a good, competent, intelligent, you know, understands what their role is, gets it, wants it, can do it, is what Gino Wickman calls that, is it in a lot of ways superior to hiring folks to do things for your properties. You're listening to Real Life Real Estate Investing. We're talking today about partners with Stuart Gethner. We're also taking questions for just about another 5 minutes, really, at 877-772-9658 or at askvina@gmail.com. Welcome back to Real Life Real Estate Investing. We're talking today to Stuart Gethner about partnerships and all the range of things that goes along with them, things you need to think about, problems you might need to solve up the road, how to maybe solve those in advance before you get into the partnership in the first place. And Merowit, I just sent you a question back on your question for some clarification. So if you can check your email for that, that will help me to understand what question I'm trying to ask Stuart. In the meantime, I got a question from JC in Las Vegas. He says, ask Stuart, what are the best ways to evaluate in advance whether somebody has the emotional constitution and risk tolerance to handle the volatility and uncertainty inherent in the real estate business?
Another great question. And I would start with the volatility with the market in and of itself. So when we look to buy property, as I'm sure you teach as well, Vina, there's a lot of good deals out there. We don't want good deals. We want great deals. So there are a lot of things that we can control, and there are a lot of things we cannot control. We cannot control inflation. We cannot control interest rates going up or going down. But we can control our strategy. We can control the property, the type of property, the entry-level property, the price point, the deal of the property. And we can control who we do business with, our partner and such. So it's hard to evaluate how someone's going to react. You know, there's a Briggs-Myers test. There's other tests you can do to determine someone's personality and such, how they handle stress, what tasks they're good at. But at the end of the day, as Vina said a little earlier in the show, life happens, whether it's a death, a divorce. And so how people handle those tragic events in their lives, everybody handles them differently. And it is tough to predict. I agree with you. It is tough to predict how they're going to handle those life challenges. But what we can control is how we enter the property at a price point. So in any business, in my opinion, you make money when you buy. We cannot control, is the market going to go up in Los Angeles? Is it going to go down? How much is it going to go up? Are rents going up? Are they going down? Can't control that. But if in Los Angeles, if something is worth $500 and in Cincinnati, if something's worth $100 and we buy it for $75 or $80, or in L.A., we buy something for $400, for $350, or $390, then we can control its volatility because we protected ourselves on the buy. So great question, because it is hard to determine how someone's going to handle life's challenges. And nobody gets out of here unscathed. But what we can control is the property we buy, doing the due diligence on the partner that we're going to go into business with, into that marriage with, making sure we're a good fit. I think Vina made a great point before about defining the roles, who's going to do this, who's going to do that. Can I do the books? Of course I can do books. The better question is, should I do the books? And that answer is no. And so defining those roles, creating that clarity as to who's going to do what. And again, you know, checking out and doing a little due diligence in their past
their history, what skeletons does everybody have in their closets, what work are they good at, do they keep employment for a long time, do they honor their commitments. It takes a little work to figure that out, but something of those simple things to do, they take time, but they're worth it in the long run.
I may be reading this in, I mean, it's an email, right? I can't hear any inflection in the question here, and maybe I'm reading this into it because it's a sore spot for me, okay? But I think what I'm hearing here in JC's question is less about do they have the risk tolerance, because I think the way you find out if somebody has risk tolerance is you say, what happens if 2007 happens all over again and all of our properties are worth half of what they were before, and also the rents go down 30% and they stay that way for 4 or 5 years? Like, how are you going to feel about that? You know, if they say that we'll just buy more, they probably have the right risk tolerance, right? If they say that would be disastrous, that maybe they don't have the risk tolerance. I think what I'm reading in is more about people understanding whether your ways of communicating when you're dealing with problems are the same. You know, I've had partners, especially in that 2007-09 time frame, that I had to call and say, this is not going like we expected. You know, didn't expect a worldwide recession. Here's the plan about how we're going to move forward, and you're going to get whatever it was you expected. And some of them reacted by saying, yep, I understand. World's come to a near end economically. I know you're going to do the best you can. Keep me informed. And some of them have had nervous breakdowns at me, right? Like, what is the matter with you? How could you possibly have? And neither reaction changed what had happened, but one of them is much more in line with the way I like to be communicated with than the, you know, I'm not one who's going to yell back. I'm not one who's going to, I just, you know, I think what he's asking is, maybe more along the lines of how do you tell if you have a match in how you deal with issues when they come up?
Again, another great question. And so let's go ahead and have that conversation ahead of time. And just like you said, what if the market goes down? What if rents go down? What's your risk tolerance? And spending time with someone you're going to be doing a partnership with, I think is very critical. Just having one meeting once, deciding to go into business, doesn't really work. I find that those types of relationships fall apart because we didn't really get to know each other. And so spending time once, twice, three times, four times, an hour over meal, break bread, get to know them, not just what their real estate goals are, but some of their other goals, because we've mentioned this all hour long, going into business, joint venture, partnerships, strategic alliances, it is a marriage. And you would want to take the time to make sure you pick the right partner or partners, because when problems arise, that's when someone's true colors show. Mm-hmm. So when we're meeting for the first time or the second time, everybody's on their best behavior and we're trying to make a good impression. So I would think spending as much time as you can before you execute. My business partner in Cincinnati that I have, we started to look at property, and it took us over a year to find something. And so that was enough time for us to vet each other out of what we're comfortable with, how much we're comfortable with, what kind of repairs we're comfortable with, and what we're not comfortable with. We looked at many properties that needed too much repair that he didn't want to be the boots on the ground to be in charge of. The time to find that out was ahead of time, not after we bought the property, and he says, I don't want to do that. So I think the time element, and Dean, I'd love to hear your opinion as well, is to get to know the person, not just on one or two business meetings, but giving it the flavor of time.
Mm-hmm. My dad, I didn't get this at the time, but my dad used to insist on going to a restaurant with people before he got into any kind of arrangement with them. And what he would do is he would watch how they treated the wait staff. because he figured that that was showing more of their reality than, you know, what they were saying to him, which was, hey, let's do business together. Okay, Stuart, unfortunately, we are out of time. So can you just briefly share what you're going to be teaching on the 23rd that we were not able to get into in the 40 minutes we just had on the radio?
Yeah, thank you, and what a great show. Thanks for having me, of course, and I sincerely appreciate it. And great questions from your audience, very great questions. We're going to go into greater detail about how to pick the right partner. We're going to start with delving into the differences between partnerships, joint ventures, and strategic alliances. Which would be the best fit for you? Is one better than the other? Can you do this and that? And what are those subtle differences? And then we'll go into what I call the Stuart's Triangle of Success. The three pillars of what's most important in any partnership, and to define those and get clarity on those before we go into a partnership. And then finally, I'd like to leave some folks with some homework as to what they can do and practicality, take with them some takeaways so that they can start using some of these ideas right away.
Okay, well, between you and the lawyer then pounding into our heads about the proper documentation, it should be a good Saturday. Folks can get more information on the calendar at CincinnatiRIA.com. We'll be back next week with more information to put you on the path to financial independence through real estate investing. Until then, happy investing.